Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
Before we hop into this episode, I really want to highlight something, a campaign that we're running with our community this month called Just Press Play. We're getting into February now. Have those New Year's resolutions started to fall off? Are you still struggling to get into that exercise or that routine that you know you should be doing, or addressing those restrictions and those aches and pains that you have? Here is our message to you. Come join our free trial and just press play. Sometimes starting is the hardest thing, but as soon as you press play on that first video and feel the difference in your body, it will start to pay you back. It will start to motivate you to do more. And that's why we're encouraging people to go to jen.health/free trial, start the free trial, and just press play. As somebody who's in our podcast audience, you can also use code OPTIMAL at checkout using either the monthly or the annual and get a special discount that's only for our podcast listeners. Just press play. Come in, do a video, and feel the difference in your body. All right, let's get into the episode.
Today, we're going to dive into the IT band, but not what normally people think about, which is knee pain, right? Yes. And that's kind of like we named our knee plan on Gen Health, knee plan and IT band pain, because so many people complain of IT band pain at the knee. But I've recently had a few people come to me and ask about, you know, I've been diagnosed with IT band and I'm IT band pain syndrome, and I'm having pain at my hip, not my knee. Yep. So, you know, when we look at the research, we actually are seeing that when it's diagnosed properly, there's about 10% of people that fall into this category. So it is something that we need to address and kind of bring up. And we want to talk about some exercises that can help as well.
And this isn't surprising to me because the IT band is such a big player in our lower body in general. Yeah. You know, there are so many things, from many of our glute muscles, our abductors, our abductors that move our leg out to the side, our quads, our hamstrings, a lot of those muscles, even our calf down near the knee where the IT band inserts, like those tissues are all crossing different parts of the IT band. So we have massive, massive muscle groups that are all pulling at this IT band. Mm-hmm. And here's a quick, not complaint, I don't know if complaint's the right word, but like, our pain, I hate it being defined by like some sort of structure.
Right.
Like, you have hip pain. Okay. Like, does it matter if it's IT band related? Does it matter if it's gluteal bursitis? Does it matter if it's greater trochanteric pain syndrome? Like, you have hip pain and there's something that's contributing to that. Right. Yes, if there's something going on in our hip, it's likely pulling on our IT band tissues that are in the hip region differently. And so it doesn't surprise me at all that they're noticing, oh, 10% of people that have hip pain have some degree of IT band pain syndrome at the hip.
Yeah, and a tendinopathy at the insertion. So we're looking at it where it connects. So if you put your hands right on your hip bones, and then you move from the top pointy part of your hip bone and then move it down to the side and back a little bit,
yeah,
that's going to be kind of where that IT band originates from. And so
on this iliac tubercle.
Right. And so that's kind of where we're seeing maybe increased tissue thickness, some changes in the tendon where it's connecting. And so that's where we're saying, oh, you're having some inflammation happening here, or some tendon changes. That's where your pain is coming from. And so it's IT band related. And why I think this is important that we have this episode on it, because yes, we don't want to be just so focused on the diagnosis, but when you're told this diagnosis, we become so focused on the structure that it's like, let me roll out my IT band, let me stretch my IT band, let me just focus on my IT band. And we actually want to tell you what the research is really saying about it.
I will say, we're going to talk about like three key exercises later once we get through all the research and what is actually effective. I just say that because people who are watching on YouTube want to see exercise.
Yeah.
And so if you don't just want to hear us talk about the IT band and IT band pain research and what's going on at the hip, you know, that's what this podcast is for. We want to educate you and get you understanding like where these recommendations come from. But if you're just interested in the exercises, you can, you know, fast forward to the end, or if you or if you're just listening to the
don't
podcast,
knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power, but I know people want to do, and I'm also a doer. So if you just want to do the exercises, they'll be towards the end. Or if you're listening and want to see us do the exercises,
yeah,
you can also hop over to YouTube and check those out. Taking a quick pause to the episode to talk about and give a shout out to something that was absolutely vital in Jen and my journey to become pregnant, as well as optimizing Jen's nutrition during her pregnancy and postpartum periods. And I'm talking about Needed. It isn't super well known, but 95% of women in the perinatal stages have nutrient deficiencies, and most prenatal vitamins include bare minimum nutrition based on outdated guidance and stale research. And we trust Needed because they really offer radically better nutrition products, education, and advocacy that is rooted in clinical research and practitioner validation. The thing that I especially loved is it's not just supplements for women. Of course, that is absolutely vital, but they had stuff for men too. They have male prenatal vitamins as well as sperm support that can make sure you're getting the nutrition so that your swimmers are as strong as they possibly can be. And their products don't just stop at pregnancy and postpartum products. They have multivitamins and different supplements for everybody. So if I were you, I would head over to thisisneeded.com and use code OPTIMAL for 20% off your first order. That's thisisneeded.com and use code OPTIMAL for 20% off your first order, because everybody deserves the nutrition that is needed for their body. Let's get back into the episode.
Yeah. And this is the thing about the IT band. We want it to be thick, and we want this long fascial structure to support the side of our body. That is how we have developed over time, because we're not falling side to side. We need to stay upright and we walk forward, right? And so having this lateral control of our body is essential. And that's how we have this long, thick IT band. So we don't want to release that. It is not going to release. It's actually such a taut band that putting pressure on it really does nothing. It might talk to our nervous system based on, you know, some of the feedback that we're giving to the muscle tissue around the IT band and helping to relax some tension, right? So we might feel a difference if we're kind of rolling on it, which is fine. You enjoy that, do it. I'm happy for you. But just know that we're not releasing tissue. We're not releasing the IT band when we do that. And so we want to give you more evidence-based approaches that are more long-term and actually are going to make an impact in what you're feeling, rather than just focusing on trying to stretch or roll this thing out, because you would need, like, what do they say? A steamroller to actually make an impact on that IT band.
Yeah. I mean, this tissue is not meant to just like be able to stretch and change
and
immediately. No, like that's not the purpose of this. Like Jen said, from rolling your IT band, you may feel some changes because of what it's doing to the muscles in the area, more so than what you're doing to the IT band, which the muscles are what we want to address. And so just some other quick background. There's two main things that they had found related to IT band hip pain. Mm-hmm. Pain directly at the origin, that ITB, the iliac tubercle that we talked about, where the IT band directly inserts. So pain right there. Or IT band related pain that has to do with other hip diagnoses, whether that be greater trochanteric pain syndrome, gluteal bursitis. Like I mentioned, these things all could impact the ITB tissues. And one of the problems that they have with diagnosing this is when an MRI is taken of the hip, they often aren't getting the iliac crest, or they aren't getting the area where the IT band inserts itself. So that's why, what some of the research studies have shown, that's why this has been missed in the past, is because they aren't actually even getting an image of where that tissue connects into.
And it's so common that the symptoms that you're feeling from having IT band pain at the hip is going to mimic so many other symptoms, like the hip bursitis or gluteal tendon pain and issues. So it's like those all kind of roll together. And we've done podcasts for sure on hip bursitis. We've done podcasts on gluteal tendonitis. And what you will notice in these podcasts as well is that what we recommend and what the research is saying for those is going to be pretty dang consistent with what the research says for this. So that's where we go back again. Like, do we need to know that exact point, that exact origin, that exact reason that we're having the pain, or what if we just started to work on the exercises that a lot of them are all suggesting?
Yeah, and just getting to know our hip and where our restrictions are about our hip. And we're getting ahead of ourselves talking about the solution. There's like, assess your dang hip, find out where your restrictions are, and work on those. And that could help resolve a lot of these issues. But let's get into some of the research articles that we looked at. This first one was looking at proximal IT band syndrome, or enthesopathy. I think I said that right.
A fancy word.
Enthesopathy. Proximal IT band syndrome.
So proximal meaning up, you know.
Meaning the top versus the knee, which we said is where many people will experience IT band related pain. So this is the specific pathology identified at that iliac tubercle. And this is one of the studies where they found many patients who are diagnosed with hip pathology may have this, up to 10% of people, but it's missed because of where that MRI is being taken from. So many patients diagnosed with hip bursitis or glute pain may actually have an issue here, but don't get diagnosed with it because the image is lacking.
And then another, you know, interesting point is like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? And this is where, you know, we look and we might see on an image that we have this IT band in or origin thickening happening up at the hip. But was it because it's starting to get a little thicker because we're already having some hip bursitis or gluteal tendinopathy issues? And as a result, your tissues are starting to adapt retroactively from that pain that you're having, and more lateral pressure out in that area? Or is it that, you know, that started and then kicked off some of those other lateral hip symptoms that we're feeling? So we don't really know what came first, but all we want to know is like, okay, how can we better address it then?
In my experience, it's usually not one or the other. You know, there's generally a combination of, we have imbalance, we're loading the hip differently, the tissues are starting to change. When the pain comes in that picture, could be different for everybody. And this study said treatments should target the whole system, not just stretching or focusing on the IT band, as we've kind of alluded to. So surgical evidence for IT band pain release at the hip. This systematic review looked at 21 studies, and there was excellent outcomes for external snapping hip syndrome, which is where you get this clunking kind of feeling and sound at the hip. And that's related to the IT band clunking over something, whether it's your, a bony structure or what have you. With surgery, that was resolved in 95% of people. So it seemed like the outcomes were excellent if you're having this snapping hip. However, there were much weaker outcomes for cases of non-snapping lateral hip pain. 36% of people still continue to have persistent pain after the surgery. And that's just persistent pain. Very low quality evidence also, meaning that most of the studies reviewed were just case series rather than some sort of randomized control trial. So yeah, it kind of the takeaways from that study is that for snapping hip, surgery might be a reliable or a good option. But if it's just general hip pain, it kind of reinforces the need for conservative treatment and conservative approaches prior to considering any sort of surgical intervention.
And we have done a podcast way back in the day, actually, when we first started this podcast, really, on snapping hip syndrome. So we'll have that linked up as well, because we know from our experience of PTs and just people going through our plans, you can reduce the noise of the snapping hip and the irritation that you're getting just based on changing some of your movement patterns and restructuring how you're doing that. So do you always need surgery? Probably not, but we're going to go through, you know, some of the conservative treatment based on the evidence that what it's really showing that you could start focusing on instead first.
There were two main research studies that we looked at talking about conservative treatment evidence for this IT band pain syndrome related to the hip. And the main takeaway when it came down to it was that strengthening had the strongest evidence. Strengthening had the strongest evidence for pain reduction and improvements in function. Furthermore, there was no evidence and no change seen by just stretching alone. Or like Jen mentioned,
doing IT band stretches.
Because as we pointed out, even if you stretch and put tension into the IT band, you're not changing the length at all. And the force that you're putting into that tissue really isn't enough, because how we remodel tissue is we load it. But in order to remodel such a thick band of tissue, stretching isn't going to put the tension on it necessary. And strengthening and using movement-based approaches are what, that's what's going to put tension on it in the right directions. Because we generally are feeling this pain while we're moving, or, and to get it to remodel how we need for our body to operate correctly is by moving, and is by using those movement patterns that might be uncomfortable.
Exactly. So let's talk about some of those hip strengthening exercises that we think, you know, would be most beneficial, especially for starting out. So when you're initially in pain, we don't like things to, we don't want to jump to like just the hardest level, do clamshells with a thick band and do a million reps. So especially in our Gen Health hip plan, we always start with like a isolated isometric, meaning you're not moving, you're just holding into a range of motion so that you start to feel the activation on the lateral part of your glute, so the outside of your hip muscle. And we like to do this against a wall. So you start about a foot away from the wall, facing away from the wall. You kick your foot back with good core control so that you're getting into a good kind of active hip extension. And then it's almost like you're going to draw the heel up without actually moving it and tilt the toe down a little bit. This really, this action of internal rotation and extension kind of really targets into that lateral, that side of that hip really well. And then when you have good control of your core, you can really start to fire up that glute. We get a little bit of extension, so a little bit of the glute max, but a lot of that glute med, because we're pulling up the wall as well. And then we just hold that. And we really, in Gen Health as well, we focus on breaths over time, because I want you to focus on how you're feeling, how you're connecting to your core and your hip, rather than just like, how long do I have and can, you know, when can I be done? So, you know, 5 to 10 breaths starting out, doing at least 2 to 3 rounds of this, this is a really good place to start and start to feel that connection. A lot of people feel like they have no connection to their glutes. They can't feel their glutes anymore. Well, clamshells are really hard for people to kind of set up and get the idea of what you're supposed to feel. But I find that the one against the wall is a really good place for people to start.
Yeah. And again, if you're just listening, check that out on YouTube, because just listening to all those cues might be tough to picture exactly what's going on here. To progress and to add a little more movement in and even a little more rotation of the hip, you brought up clamshells. But beyond just a standard clamshell, which we don't always feel like does a great job, we'd like to do a clamshell lift or clamshell side plank type exercise. And I might let you explain the cues, because that's more your genius than mine. And I will probably just confuse people.
Well, and again, we're pulling in the core to this hip complex. And this is what you'll understand a lot of what we do in Gen Health as well, is like, we don't want to just, we don't move in isolation, right? We move in combination with our entire body. So how can I bring in this deep core connection to my pelvis so that I understand and feel better, feel freer in my movement rather than just trying to target this one glute, right? And so with the side plank, so you're thinking your knees are bent, your feet are behind you, and your elbow is kind of stacked right underneath your shoulder. You push up into a side plank. And as you're pushing up, you allow that top knee to kind of open out. So we're going to start to load the bottom of that hip. And then we're going to start to just kind of get a little bit of rotation with that good oblique control. And you start to, again, really program that core in through that hip complex so that we're starting to put a little bit more load and tension. You can hold that. What I love is that you come down nice and slow and then you push back up into it. You can add a band around your knees to progress it, but coming all the way down, we're kind of stretching in toward where that IT band connects into that side of the hip. And then we come into that activation. So we get that stretch in the load, the slow eccentric control down, and then the activation and the control up. So there's so many aspects to what we're thinking about when we're talking about exercise, right? We're not just talking about let's target the glute, but how are we targeting? How are we maximizing it? We're moving through a range of motion here rather than just loading it at it and it at its end range. And so just know there's a lot of thought that goes behind like the exercises that we're choosing and why we're choosing them and how they connect into
you
the body.
You brought into both of these first exercises the breath with the hip abduction against the wall, and with the side plank aspect of this clamshell, we're incorporating our core as well. Because with HIP-related issues, what we find a lot of the times is there's a disconnection or a discoordination between our core muscles and our hip muscles and how they're working together or not working together so well. And so both of these exercises have thought behind them and how we are incorporating core activation with that movement from the hip. And I love this clamshell because it's getting that hip abduction, abduction, yes, but it's also starting to, like you said, incorporate the hip rotation. We're working in multiple planes. So there's a lot of good stuff going on here. And then the third progression is kind of bringing it to standing and forcing and making that leg and that hip support the whole body by itself. And so doing some sort of lateral step down. I actually do a ton of lateral step downs myself for both, for mainly knee related issues on my side of things, but it's so great for that lateral control, which the IT band, as we've pointed out, is super involved with. And so standing on a step, a stool, I always hold on to something because it's not a balance exercise as much as we're wanting to really target the strength aspect of that lateral hip. So standing on one leg, the other leg is kind of hanging off the edge of the step, and you're going to pull that hip back that you're standing on, pull the hip back and lean your trunk forward and almost rotate a little bit into that stance leg as you lower down to just lightly tap your heel on the ground and then stand back up. And doing 10 or 15 of these, like I'll do sets of 15 and it really starts to burn. And all you're doing is using body weight, no weights necessary. A great way to start programming in good control through that lateral hip.
Yeah. And like you can start on a low step. You can start on a set of books if you need to. You know, it doesn't need to start high at all to really start to feel that engagement through really the entire glute is kind of working here. And that's also why I love it. We're using our whole hip complex and you're still using the core when you're standing on that one as well, because the goal is not to let the hip drop. So the leg that's hanging off the edge, it's just kind of hanging there, but that you want to try to keep your hips as level as possible rather than dropping down to the side or kicking your hip out to the side. So there's a lot of awareness, control, and core coordination that has to go in when you're doing those. And those are three. Those are three examples of ways you can start and where you can progress into. We have so many more on Gen Health where we are either isolating in those isometric contractions or we're getting more into involved movements in all different planes of motion. So if you ever wanted to try our hip and groin plan on Gen Health, this would be a great place to start.
First of all, so yes, hip plan. I mean, we've got the hip and groin plan, and then also just the knee and IT band plan, which if you're having IT related issues, doing those two plans or one after another would be great. If you want to try them out, you always get a free week trial and you can get your first month for just $20 if you use code OPTIMAL as one of our podcast listeners. So that's gen.health/free trial. One place that I'm not going to say I disagree with the research, but they talk about how stretching isn't really effective. And that's when you really need to dig into the protocols and the methods used in these studies, because they're probably using just one or a couple targeted stretches at the IT band. But if we truly are having hip pathology, some of the studies said we need to look at the hip as a whole. And that's where I think quote unquote stretching, or more accurately like mobility and using active mobility strategies, could be a very effective part of the plan. Like if you're limited in hip rotation one way or the other, hip internal or hip external rotation, that's definitely something we want to address.
Yes.
And yes, that doesn't just come through passive stretching, but doing some passive stretching, getting in a 90-90 to work on both internal and external rotation, and then getting into an active 90-90 or an active 90-90 switch, those types of exercises could be great to pair with the strengthening exercise that you do, because you're going to improve your hip mobility passively so that you then can work through a greater active range of motion.
Yes. I mean, it was so funny. This is a random side note, but I was talking to an editor, a writer the other day about glute strength or glute stretches, glute stretches that I recommend. And yes, I gave a couple glute stretches of how we can start to kind of relax tension and find that increased range of motion passively. But then my stretches that I recommended, quote unquote, started going into these more active treatments, whether it was now we're going to hold a 90-90, but I want you to push into it. I want you to contract. I want you to relax. I want you to find, like, change your nervous system as we're going into some of these stretches. And then it got active. Okay, now we need a stand. Now we need to load it in a range of motion. Now we need to load it laterally. Now we need, so it's...
And now we need to deadlift
right.
and squat.
It was deadlift. It was lateral lunge. It was a step up. It was some of the things that we're talking about here, where stretching becomes, doing stretches gets integrated into strength work.
What's the goal of a stretch?
When we're moving into our range of motion that we have available in order to load that tissue through a greater length. And that's going to help us, one, to strengthen more, but also to find that improved mobility at that hip through a greater range of motion, which is going to keep us functioning and moving better and moving in all directions and keep that tissue healthier. So I think that's, it's so important to remember stretching. It can be great to help calm things down, but we need to get into that active mobility and that active component of strengthening.
It's always funny because we'll have these people reach out and say, oh, would Jen want to comment on an article, or would she want to be an expert, testimony for best stretches for blank or best... And I'm always like, sure, but what she tells you might just not confuse you, but not be what you're looking for.
I know.
Because often people are like, oh, best glute stretches, just do pigeon. But like I said, what's the purpose of doing a pigeon stretch, which works on your hip external rotation? What's the purpose? Is it just to be in a pigeon stretch and lay flat on the floor? Like, no, because when do you do that in life?
Yeah.
When is that a necessary position to passively have your leg all the way up to your chest?
Like when you're in yoga.
But what is functional is standing on one leg and trying to lift your foot up so you can tie your shoe quick. Mm-hmm. So if you can sit in a pigeon stretch and lay flat on your leg, but you struggle to pick your foot up to be able to reach it and tie your shoe, that tells you that there's a discrepancy between your passive range of motion and your active range of motion. We're getting on a little tangent that it's definitely related to the topic, but what's the purpose of stretching? This is all to support my feeling that saying stretching isn't worth it, we disagree with it a little bit. Passive stretching, maybe, but using mobility to get full and own full active range of motion at that joint and in that specific range of motion should be the purpose.
Yes.
Not just sole passive stretching.
Yes. So ultimately, we do want to say IT band exists at the hip. This is a real thing for about 10% of the population. So it's not just at the knee.
IT band pain.
IT band pain
exists for everybody.
Yes, yes, it exists at the hip. But the pain that you could be having could be coming and originating from that IT band, especially if you notice it's a little bit higher in the hip, not just at the side of the glute, but a little bit higher up by that hip bone. So imaging might not always find it because we're not always going high enough to really look at that hip bone to really assess it and see.
Which again, our mindset is always is imaging necessary?
Yeah.
Do you want that deductible and that cost and that, do you want to go down that route and then hear all the things that are wrong with your hip? Or do you just want to start addressing the function?
Right. Hip abductor strength, or the lateral outside of the hip strengthening, is found to be the best in order to help reduce your pain, get back to function, improve your symptoms. And this comes with gradually loading over time, which is why we gave you kind of that progression of exercises to think about. Stretching alone, not enough. Surgery, rarely necessary and definitely not our first recommendation. And like we ended with, treat the whole hip, treat the whole body, incorporate the core, incorporate how your feet are moving, incorporate everything, because it all plays a role. And just know that your prognosis is good. Most patients respond really well to that progressive strength-based rehab and targeted load modification. So, continue to listen to your body and know that it's possible to reduce your pain, but it does take consistency. And something that Dom had mentioned before, persistence to maintain that consistency and stick with it, despite how you might be feeling along the journey. Thanks so much for sticking around. I hope that was helpful. And again, head to YouTube if you have any questions on what those exercises really looked at. And if you want to get a little bit better guidance and more exercises to open up that mobility, feel that core connection, and progressively start to load that hip, this is where the hip and groin plan in Gen Health would be so incredibly helpful. You can use code OPTIMAL. You get in for just $20 on a whole 30-day plan and 11 other plans on top of that. So go to gen.health/free trial. We'll have that linked up in the show notes as well, and use code OPTIMAL at checkout.